I'm going to just rush through, read through, and just lay emphasis on one point, and then that would prepare our hearts. You know, Revelation is the fuel of worship, and the Word of God paints the picture that helps you focus on God. That's why the Bible says He seeks for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you don't have word in your spirit, you will be distracted in worship. Worship will be difficult for you if you don't have a large deposit of word in your heart. Let the word of God dwell in you, what, richly, before He says singing to yourselves. Amen. So you want to have an effective worship life, it is directly proportionate to the revelation of the word in your spirit. Do we understand? So, let me just rush through this because we don't have a lot of time. You know, when we say the year of grace and glory, I was saying to the ministers, because we had a retreat. By the way, please celebrate our ministers and leaders. We had an amazing leadership retreat. Amazing leadership retreat. We're so refreshed. And we would try and share some of the things that we received, you know, during the retreat. You know, we said, and we're having a lot of confirmations and signs that it's 1 year where we would experience God's grace and His glory. For God is able to make all grace abound towards us. For we, having what, all sufficiency in all things, we will abound unto what? Every good work. And we declared that Psalm 84 is our portion, that God, you know, what, is a sun and shield. And God gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. But we also said that when we say it's a year of glory, it means that it's going to also be a year of what? Some battles, some struggles. You know, when you find a world boxing champion, you know, whose hands are lifted in glory with his belt, most times if you look at his face, you see some bruises, right? He did not win that as a gift. He fought a few rounds. This year you may have to go through a few rounds. But thanks be to God who always does what causes us to triumph. That's what it means. Prophecy is two sides. You know, we always like, you know the good part. But there are preconditions. To every glory there is a story. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared what with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So don't count it strange when we say it's a year of grace and glory and you find, you know, what I call a prophetic contradiction. Yes, there's something such as that. You leave a service like that, they say, "Oh, it's a year of breakthrough." And you are happy. And then you go out and you meet obstacle. It's breakthrough now. Do you understand? So if they say it's a year of breakthrough, we like to shout at the breakthrough. But that word says you are breaking through something. So there must be obstacles. Do you understand? You know, and we were sharing with the leaders. And you find from our confession, when we talk about grace, you know, people just understand grace from the endearment part. What do I mean endearment? The unmerited favor, that which you do not deserve. Okay? You know, while you were yet sinners, God just loved you. He just chose you. You are chosen. We like that. But there is a grace that is also grace as endowment, giftings and talents. And there is yet another grace as empowerment. The type that Paul says, you know, he besought God for what? 3 times to take our what? This what? This struggle from him. This turn from him. And God said, what? My what? Grace. So there's a grace that comes to empower you to go through. Hallelujah. So we'll be looking at this subject, and last two Sundays we said that it was, you know, we looked at the subject of glory, that glory is really God's desire. Okay? Glory is God's return on investment. Everything he does, you know, if whatever you do, you know, do it what? For the glory of God. If you eat or you sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we also looked at, I mean, we've defined glory as the weightiness of God, as the way we value God, the valuation of God, the sum total of the essence of God, his kabod, his worth. We said glory is praise, is beauty, is honor, is splendor. We've done all of that. But we've been looking at, you know, this glory that is trapped within us, because, you know, once you have Christ in you, then you are a candidate of glory. How do we manifest this glory? How do we manifest this glory? So that's what we want to just quickly look at. I'm not going to be able to teach in depth. I'm just going to mention a few points, and then I'll stay on one line, and then we will have that time of worship to minister to God and release the glory of God. Amen. I thought on Tuesday that if you want to really experience the manifest presence of God, this year is not the year where you say, I'm not a singer. No, you don't have to be a singer to worship God. Amen. You have to learn to minister to God. Learn to minister to God in thanksgiving as he takes you through the gate and then into the court. And then as you praise him. You know, I said thanksgiving deals with the goodness of God, the largesse of God. When you stay there a while in the spirit, you enter into his court. In his court, you declare his power, his might. That's the realm of praise. You know, eulogize him. When you stay there for a bit, he transports you to the holiest place. And in the holiest place, you know, what happens there? Only the high priest and the Shekinah, the light of God's glory, is the only light in that place. So it's in the holiest place where we worship God that we experience his glory. Ezekiel 43 verse 5. Ezekiel 43 verse 5. Let me confirm that with that scripture. So you must learn to be someone who worships God. So what? The Spirit took me. So when you begin to praise and worship God, you're on a journey. Say you're on a journey. Yes, you are on the high places. You may not see it. You may still be on this earth physically, but spiritually, you are ascending. Say you are ascending to the hill of the Lord. So it says, the Spirit took me up and brought me into where? The inner court. And what? Behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hallelujah. But let's look at today. Leviticus 9:6. Look at some scriptures from the Old Covenant very quickly. I wanted to speak, you know, about, you know, the place of altars, sacrifice, the fire of God, how it leads to a manifestation of the glory of God. And then we'll draw a parallel with the New Covenant, because we must always see Jesus. Amen. The essence of revelation is Jesus. Say the essence is to reveal Jesus. Jesus said, before what? Abraham, I am. So we want to see him. Leviticus 9:6. 1-2 go. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you shall do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear. Now we'll borrow this principle. When I read this, something just leaped in my heart. It says, if you do this thing, you what? So I began to study in context. What is that which we are to do to see the glory of God? Amen. Then I read through the entire scripture, and I'm going to ask someone to help me, Faye, to help me read the entire, you know, chapter, just to have a context. But let me go to John 11:40, where Jesus also said something similar. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt what? See the glory of God. In the old covenant, they said, if you do, you will see. Jesus says, if you believe, what? You will see. And believe there is the word, you know, from the word where you have pistis. It means to have faith in God. And let me tell you what faith is. Faith is not just a mental assent. Faith is conviction that is translated to actionable steps. Amen. So, faith is not just a mental assent. We always think that faith is just, you know, a conviction of the heart. But ultimately, what? It will translate to action. Action that is based on the word of God. So Jesus was speaking. The context here was that Lazarus, what? Died. And, you know, Mary wept and they cried. And they said, if you were here, my brother would not die. And Jesus said, well, you know, I'm the resurrection of the life. And then they said, well, we'll see him on the resurrection day. Jesus says, didn't I tell you that if you believe, say believe, that you will see the glory of God. But that belief translated to roll away the stone. Amen. So faith is not just what a mental assent. To experience the glory of God, you will need to take some steps of faith. This year you'll find grace. Say, find grace. There are certain things the Holy Spirit will ask you to do by way of instructions. And when you activate them, the glory of God will be released to you. Amen. Faye, let's go. Help me quickly. From Leviticus 9, is she around? Is Faye around?
And it came to pass on the eighth day.
Can you help me read the NKJV on NLT?
After the ordination ceremony on the eighth day, Moses called together.
I think I prefer the NKJV. So help me with the NKJV. So we don't lose the essence of the King James.
On the eighth day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar.
So you see this, and then God begins to give what? Instructions. Say instructions. If you are going to experience God's glory this year, you learn to receive instructions from God. Mary said to them in John 2, whatsoever he seeth unto you, what?
Do.
May you find grace this year to do.
Amen.
Please continue.
And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and pour the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering, he burned on the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with a burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offerings and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. And the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail, what covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. And they put the fat on the breasts. Then he burned the fat on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from the offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people.
Hallelujah. Please just, okay, stop there. Okay, verse 24. And what?
And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces.
Okay, stop. Say it begins from the altar. Say it begins from the altar. God is a God of patterns. This is the old covenant, is a shadow, but we see the substance in the new covenant. And by the way, if you want to understand Leviticus, read the New Testament equivalent, which is Hebrew. Say Hebrews. So don't read Leviticus in isolation. Read it and read Hebrews, and you will see the substance. This is the shadow. So you see here that God, you know, gives an instruction and says, if you do this thing, I would manifest glory. And the first thing we see is what? An altar. See, an altar. Somebody say altar. Say sacrifice. Say fire. Say glory. Say it till it's established in your heart. Say altar. Sacrifice. Sorry. Altar. Sacrifice. Fire. Glory. Say altar. Sacrifice. Fire. And glory. Now, there can be no altar without sacrifice. Every time you read or you have a Strong's concordance, put in that word altar, the very next thing you find is what? A sacrifice. Say a sacrifice. So you find that in verse 17, they set up an altar. And on that altar, they brought what? An offering. And those offerings were in this order. Say the sin offering. Say the burnt offering. Then they had the grain offering as well. Then they had what? The peace offering. All of those are very significant. And of course, you know that all of those things point to the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to just read through all of those sacrifices. Are you ready? You can write this down. An altar is a raised area of worship where people can honor God with offerings, sacrifices, and gifts. So, it's a raised area. It's a high place. An altar is also a consecrated place or space where sacrifices are offered. where covenants are cut and made. Altars were also, and I say were, because in the new covenant, it changes. Amen. Were places built by men also to commemorate their encounters and experiences with God. Genesis 12:7, very quickly, Genesis 12:7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there, he did what? Built an altar. We should have altars in our lives. And by altars in our life, I don't mean a room where you keep a red cloth and candles. I mean places, points in your life where God encountered you. Testimonies are a type of altars in our lives. As memorials. You see, because the human nature forgets. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not. The children of Israel just passed through the Red Sea, a miracle that never seen before. The next chapter at the water of Marah, they said, why did you bring us out here? The same water issue. God even solved a more complex water issue. That's why every now and then you've got to erect altars, memorials, places you can look back and say, the God who slew what? Who helped me with the bear and the lion will deal with you. What? Goliath. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, raise altars in your life. So men raise altars as, you know, memorials. Strategic moments, times of your life where you don't forget. In fact, do that yearly. Remember the day that God brought you out of something. Celebrate it and offer sacrifices on it. And you learn how to offer those sacrifices. Hallelujah. Isaac also raised an altar before God. Genesis 26, 24 to 25. And the Lord appeared unto him, what? The same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will what? Bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. What happened in 25? And he builded what? An altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. I've also found out that altars are places where people call on God. Altars are like spiritual base stations. Hope you know that when you make a phone call from here, your call does not go to someone directly. It hits a base station. You know, there's a base station where the signals are sent. An altar is a spiritual base station. There, people call on God. A memorial where you know, like Ebenezer. Hallelujah. How about David? David raised an altar. 1 Chronicles 21:26. Let's read one to go. Please, do we have it on screen? Media, help me now. 1 Chronicles 21:26. Want to go? And did what? And called. You see, a second witness. He called on God where? At that altar. So when David said, the God who delivered me from where? He was activating his altar. Would deliver me from you. He was making reference to his altar. Let me tell you something. People don't walk this earth without altars. You want to do great things in life? People have altars that speak. I told you, my CEO friend, a friend of mine, you know who, I mean, someone we know here, who told me about a large a big organization in this country, every beginning of the year, they go to a riverine area and they slaughter over 200 cows. Not in Bible days. These are businessmen. They are placing sacrifice. I'm not telling you in a vision, in a dream. I know the person. My friend, who is a believer, owns a bank, told me about someone he knows. It is not in the open. It's not at night. They go to a river and slaughter 200 cows. They place on the altar. They go to the same place. So when David said, "You uncircumcised Philistine, you come to me with shields, with sword, but I come to you what in the name of the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, the one who delivered me from where? The bear and the lion." He was placing a demand on the altar of God. Hallelujah. There, he called on God. One more, Gideon. Say Gideon. Judges 6:24. Are you being blessed? Then Gideon built. Okay, let's have some context, verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." But that was an encounter. The word of the Lord came to him. He had an encounter with the word of God, and then he raised a memorial. Tell somebody, learn to raise a memorial. I'm not talking about something physical. I mean something in your mind, in your life. A consciousness that on this day, God came through for me. On this day, God revealed himself as this. And every time that day comes, raise an incense and call upon him from that altar, from that place. Hallelujah. For some of you, it's the help of God you experience in the most dramatic way. And you know there are things that happen in your life that if it were not God on your side, every time that day comes in your life, make sure you place a demand. Go back to that place and place sacrifice on it. Hebrews what? 13 verse 15. Thanksgiving, praise to God. You see, you service altars. And we don't do that with the blood of doves and bulls and oxen. With praise, with thanksgiving, with consecration. And then you call God from that place. What's that place? That place of consciousness. That place of understanding. Hallelujah. Are we learning something? So go back to Gideon. So Gideon had an encounter with the word of God, and then he raised a memorial. The memorial is more for you than God. Because the devil comes for a season and he will come again. You must learn to remind him. You must learn to remind yourself that God has a track record of keeping his word, like I sang. And you go back to that place. The same God who delivered me from fibroid. Who are you, O cyst? Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah what? Shalom. That's where it came from. Lord, my peace. You should learn to give God some specific names that are exclusive to you. Somebody gave God Jehovah Ephesi, the God of special effects. The one who knows how to color lives and destinies. Hallelujah. Somebody else called him Jehovah what? Overdue. Can I give you 10 seconds to name your altar? Remember one encounter you have and give him a personal name. Gideon called him Jehovah Shalom. Because once upon a time, this guy lacked peace and fear and anxiety came. And the word of the Lord came as Shalom. The revelation of peace, of wholeness, of completeness. And he raised a consciousness. Hallelujah. I shared the testimony here May 19. That has become a memorial here. while we're worshiping here with on bended knees, here on our knees. And I was weeping and crying. And I didn't know why I was crying. A lot of you were here. We came to the altar and we're weeping and crying, only for my wife to come here. She had left the children at home to do her assignment. Prior to that, somebody had shared a vision to a pastor friend of mine in the UK that I lost two of my children. And the pastor prayed for me. He didn't bother to share with me because he thought, well, I won't bore him with that. But on that night, we raised an incense, a sacrifice from an altar of worship, which was speaking. My wife had barely left the house. The children were doing the assignment. And I believe an angel of the Lord distracted them. And they left that spot. The entire heavy ceiling with metals and all of these things crushed that place. When I saw that at home, I could not pray that for my worst of enemies. Talk less of an 8 year and a 9 year old girl. May 19. You think May 19 will come and I won't remember what God has done? I raise an altar as a deliverer. As a deliverer. Can I give you 1 minute to remember one encounter of God in your life? One thing. It may not be deliverance. Yours may just be a revelation of who he is. I make reference to that. Altars are places where men commune with and call upon God. It is a place where blood is shed and where animals are burnt and gifts given. I'll give you some examples. There are altar of incense, a holy place where priests offer worship to God. What we did this morning was an altar of incense, releasing what? Worship to God. The brazen altar of the tabernacle sacrifice is a testimony that there will be what? Once for all sacrifice in God's Son. And all of these that we read today point to one ultimate altar, and it's called Calvary. Say Calvary. Remember, it begins where from? Altar, sacrifice, fire, and glory. Let me prove that to you. Go to Chronicles 7, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Let's move quickly. Media now. I don't want to see my picture. My this thing is not important. Give me scripture. Want to go? Now, when Solomon had what? Made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed what? The burnt offering and the sacrifices. And what happened? You see the pattern? Now, if you go to chapter 6, you read there where there was an altar. Then he gave God this 1,000 what? Laid 1,000 oxen on the altar. So there was an altar, and then there was what? Sacrifice, and then what? Now, the fire there, you would see when we read Leviticus 9, that when they made an end of the sacrifices, you know, the Bible says that the priest blessed them. So the prophetic came forth, and then the fire came, and then the glory was released. See, today is a prophetic service. People don't know how the prophetic works. When prophecy goes forth, make sure you have an altar where there is sacrifice. That's the key. Prophetic words go forth over your lives. Make sure you have sacrifice on the altar for the fire to burn. Another weakness is 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. The story of Elijah, the prophet. Let's go from verse 26. And then I'll just begin to tie this up quickly. Want to go? And they took what? The bullock. Giving them, they dressed it.
Oh God, hear us. But there was no voice.
Now, remember I said that an altar is where you call. You see, and before you call, there must be what? Sacrifice. You see the pattern? Even in the demonic, because this was the demonic part. So the demonic is always a distortion of the truth of God. Amen. Continue. But there was no what?
There was no one.
So that altar could not speak. Nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them. Please go forward, go forward, go forward to 28. And they cried, go to 29 for time's sake. Okay, let's go to 30. And Elijah said, let's read together. Come near unto all the people. And he did what? Say it again. He repaired what? Somebody say altar. Say altar. Say it's a place. Now, in the Old Covenant, it was a physical space. Very soon, I'll let you know where that place is in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Put the scripture now. Leave me. He repaired what? The altar. And altars are stones, all right? In the Old Covenant, they were stones that were put together. Remember Jacob? He laid stones. Amen. And Elijah took what? 12 stones, each representing what? The number of the tribes. Saying, Israel shall what be thy name? Go to 32. I'm just rushing through this. And with these stones, what? He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made what? A trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Continue. And he put wood in order. And did what? Cut what? Bullock in pieces. Somebody say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Say altar.
Altar.
Say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Say altar.
Altar.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And laid what? Him on the wood. And said, fill 4 barrels with water and poured it on the burnt what? Sacrifice. And on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And the water ran. Hope you know why he was pouring the water. He wanted a worst case scenario so that when the fire comes, you know that this is not man that did it. Normally, fire should come on what? A dry sacrifice. But he said, you know what? Make it so wet. Reduce the chances that this altar will speak and catch fire. And it came to pass at what? The time of offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac. Now, say the prophetic. The prophetic. He was now releasing the prophetic. But before the prophetic, there had to be what? An altar and what? Sacrifice on it. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then what? Somebody say altar. Say sacrifice. Say fire. But you see, before the sacrifice and the fire, see, there's the prophetic. See, there's the prophetic word. There's the prophetic. You're going to receive a prophetic word this morning. Now, before that comes, I'll show you the sacrifice to put on the altar. Are you getting the pattern? And then fire came. Now, after fire came, what happened? You see, the glory was released. Let's go. Continue. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on their faces. You see, when the glory comes, that will happen. The priest could not stand. And they fell on their faces. Why? Because of the glory. 2 Chronicles 5:12-14. You see that? And what happened? They said, the Lord, he is God. That's glory. They began to glorify the Lord. Have you seen the pattern? Go to Leviticus 9. again. Oh, I'm excited. Go to the end, 23 and 24. So when you go to conferences, you go to a church service like this, and the prophetic word is going out. Don't just shout amen. Make sure you have sacrifices on the altar. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and did what? Blessed, said the prophetic. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto the people. Now, what is this altar? I was going to show you what the sin offering is, but I'll just read it quickly. But let me tell you what this altar is. 1 Peter 2:5. Want to go? Ye also, as lively stones. Remember that stone? I don't what? I built up a spiritual house. That spiritual house is altars. And holy priesthood. To do what? To offer up what sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:10. Jesus, you see, the three sacrifices that were laid before the prophetic came was the sin offering, and then there was the burnt offering, and then there was the peace offering. The sin offering is a very serious prescribed, God himself prescribes that. And Jesus, our Redeemer, is our sin offering. Let's read together. I want to go. We have what? An altar. Whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Without the camp means they burned it without the camp for shame, for purposes. You see, lepers were kept how? Outside the camp. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon his body sin. So he had to be burned what? Outside the camp to represent those lepers, sin, you know, shame. That what? He might, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside the gate. Let us therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Continue. For here we have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him. Somebody say by him. By him. Say by him. By Jesus. Please give me the Amplified. I like the Amplified rendering here. By him. Therefore, let us at what? All times offer up to God a what? A sacrifice of praise. Where is the altar? Where's the altar? You are the altar. You are the altar. So David understood this in the old covenant. That's why he said in verse 16, he says, you are not interested, what? In sacrifices. In sacrifices. Jump there for me and come back here. Psalm 51. Are you ready to worship, to offer God? For you do not do what? Delight. David knew that all of this mosaic, you know, demands, and the tabernacle of David that was, you know, more about animal sacrifice, that God, it was just a stopgap for the real thing. So David was futuristic, was prophetic. He says, all of these things is not what you want, or else I will give it. You delight not in burnt offering. Continue. Verse 17. the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Hallelujah. So he knows that, you see, that this is, God is not about bulls, doves. He wants a heart of praise, a heart of worship. Amen. Amen. Let's see what Asaph said. Asaph said in Psalm 50. Psalm 50 from 7 to 14. Quickly, let's read quickly. Are you being blessed? When you understand this, your worship then has a lot of substance. Who are the people handling this screen? Please help me. One, two, go. Hear, O my people. I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Verse 11. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. Continue. If I were hungry, I will not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. See, if you knew the importance of thanksgiving in the new covenant, you would thank God always. See, always. See, always. Go back to Hebrews 13:15. See, every time you murmur and complain, you are defiling your altar. Every time. Because it is the opposite of thanksgiving. It sounds so simplistic. Giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. I've shared it every now and then that giving thanks to God is a major way to give glory to God. Psalm 50 verse 23. Amplified. He that offereth sacrificial thanksgiving glorifieth me. Hebrews, you see, he who offers what? A sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving honors or glorifies me. Honors or glorifies me. Honors or glorifies me. And to him who orders his way rightly, who follows the way that I show him, I shall show the salvation. Hebrews 13:15, amplified. Through him, therefore, let us, at how many times? How many times? When you get a good job, when you don't have a good job, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you are angry, when they annoy you, when you have that contract, when you don't have it. See, you think that you are just making God happy, not knowing that you are servicing your altar. Because every now and then a prophetic word comes, but it must meet what? Sacrifice. Of course, the primary sacrifice is Romans 12. You offer what? Yourself, your body. God is more interested in where your song comes from than the song itself. From the heart. Offer up to God sacrifice of praise, which is what? The fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and does what? Glorify his name. We release the glory when we give thanks. Jesus said in Luke 17, from 11 to 17, he says, where are the nine? Is it just this one man who has returned to give glory? You release kabod. You release the very glory of God. When we give thanks, it is the ploy and trick of the enemy to make you entitled, to make you unthankful. And I've said this time and again, the more you become unthankful, you become unfruitful. And the more you become unfruitful, you become resentful. The more you become unthankful, you become ungraceful. The word grace, gracias, is the same word. Gracias, gracias. The Spanish say gracias, thank you. The same word with grace. To release thanksgiving is to occasion the release of grace. And that fire that comes down in the new covenant is the spark of God, and I call it grace. So grace comes on your altar. What's your altar? On your life, on your heart. Grace is defined as divine influence upon the heart. Divine influence upon the heart. You make your life an altar. And of course, you see, the sin offering was first, you know, given. What does that say to you? Is before you begin to enjoy this benefit, you must go through the cross of Jesus. It starts at the altar of Jesus Christ. Your sins have to be forgiven. You have to believe. Jesus said, believe. You've got to believe on that which Jesus Christ has done on the cross. You've got to be washed by the blood of the burnt offering. It is sprinkled upon the altar. You see, when that the burnt offering, the sacrifice, you know, when it's burnt, the blood that is taken from that is sprinkled on the altar, around the altar. What's the altar? You. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then the peace offering. Hope you know the peace offering is an expression of thanksgiving. Study it. I'm going to show you that next week Sunday. We're going to deal with each of them one by one. Sin, burnt offering, and the peace offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to thank Him. When you do that, you wake up in the morning, whether you find a reason or not, you release the fruit of your lips, sounds, your songs. You load your altar, preparing for fire to come. The spark of God, the grace of God. Then He says, He makes all grace abound towards you. Can you lift your hands? Come on, choir, come. So as we begin to worship and record this song, you have an opportunity to release incense, sacrifice on your altar. What some of you should be doing now is recalling very strategic times in your lives. Erecting altars in your life, in your mind. Say, so did Lord, you came through for me. Open your mouth and give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. It's powerful. It's powerful. It is the sacrifice of the new covenant. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And praise. And worship. It precedes the prophetic. And when the prophetic goes forth, then the grace of God is released on your life. And then you begin to glow. You begin to find expressions of His grace, of His glory. If you are here this morning and you've not been to the cross, you are not crucified with Jesus Christ. Paul said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I live through the faith of the Son of God. What I've shared today is for those who have been to the cross, whose lives are on the altar. Those who have presented their bodies a living sacrifice. The fire comes on sacrifices without blemish. Without blemish. Those bulls had to be without blemish. And guess what? when you plunge yourself beneath the fountain of his blood, he will wash you white as snow. And then the prophetic blessing will go forth, and his grace, his fire will come on your altar. Every eye closed, head bowed. You are here. You've never been to the altar. In other words, you have not given your life as a living sacrifice. You are the Lord of your own life. You do what you want, when you want it, wherever you are, without shame, fear, or timidity. Can you raise your hand? Pastor Nathaniel, I want to surrender my life. I've never been to the altar. I'm a sinner. Wave it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. The fire is about to fall. His glory is about to appear. We're about to lay our sacrifice on the altar. Our burnt offerings, our peace offerings. By the way, hope you know that the grain offering speaks of your substance. So that's another way to place your sacrifice. This year, you must learn to give sacrificial seeds. The Holy Spirit must lead you. I gave some last year and something broke loose in my life. Open. Those of you waving your hands, please, can you quickly just run forward. Quickly. Please, let's clap as they come. Very quickly. Let's clap as they come. Let's take this podium out and prepare. Those of you who raise your hands, please come. Don't be ashamed. I saw them. Come forward. Come forward. Yes. Come forward. If you raise your hands to give your life to Christ, please come. Come, come, come. Don't be ashamed. Don't look around for who else is coming. Come to the altar. Come lay your life as a living sacrifice. Aren't you guys excited for souls? These are sacrifices on the altar. Come to Jesus. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. Come, come. Don't stop clapping. From the overflows, please come. Come lay your life at the altar. Let's sing that song. Say, accept one more time. Say, come, come, come. Receive. We offer through Christ the sacrifice of our praise. The first sacrifice is your life. Say your life. Say your life. As a burnt offering, you lay down. Anybody else? Leaders, please come and lead them to Christ. Please come very quickly. Come and lead these ones. Come and lead these ones quickly, 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 quickly. The rest of us, can we stand up? You're going to have an opportunity to furnish your altar. You are both the altar and the sacrifice at the same time. And your life being the sacrifice speaks of your living, the way you live your life. Is it worthy? Is your life worship? Is your work worthy sacrifice? Is there holiness and purity? That's what we're talking about. Is your life consecrated? That's what it means. To his to his service. Are you one person in church and another at home? Who are you behind the curtains? That's your sacrifice. Would you, like Joseph, decide to let go of the privileges of the king's palace and offer your members a living sacrifice? Young girl, when that rich man comes, when that mighty man comes, single girl, and says, lie with me, would you say, no, I put my body, I lay my life on the altar. My life is already laid on the altar. That's the number one sacrifice. Your life before your song. Your life before your song. Your life before your song. Before we start singing, make sure you check, is your life a worthy sacrifice? Are you like Daniel, who says, I'm ready to be a burnt offering in that fire? That was a living sacrifice. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Literally, he was a burnt offering. I'd rather be burnt than bow. I'd rather be burnt than bow. I'd rather be burnt. I'd rather be laid in that fire. Seven times hot. They laid themselves a living sacrifice. Enough of giving thanks and singing songs that our lives don't sing. We offer our lives before our song. Lift your hands, say, I offer my life a living sacrifice. I lay it once again. Do what you want, Lord. Let your fire come on this altar and let it release to you a pleasing aroma in the name of Jesus. That aroma is glory. It's glory that goes to him. That righteous character that is worked in us by the Spirit of God. That's the number one character. Philippians 1:11, NLT. That's the sacrifice of our lives. There's no use singing songs of gratitude and your life is not, you know, a worthy sacrifice. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. That righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much praise. Much glory and praise to God. When our lives are pleasing, our praise then makes sense. You've learned today that the way we offer this sacrifice, the way we service this altar, is by continuously, daily, ceaselessly offering thanks. Can we pray in the Spirit? Come pray in this prayer.